What this last speaker has done is talk about some of the difficulties of persons who are really mentally ill when they actually seek help because they know that they have problems and they're not getting that help. So if we can understand from that perspective, please, I'd like to welcome Sally Tyler, who's... Thank you again, Robert. For sure. Sally's working with the National Health Service to try to make sure that those people that really need help, mental health services, and they're even trying to get that help, because they see that they're dangerous, and they see that they have mental health issues. Welcome, Sally.
Firstly, excuse the bare feet, but my feet are killing me. I work with really scary people every day, and I've never been as terrified as I am standing up here now, and I'm really sorry if I cry. So our review is really different to most other people's in the room, in that our perpetrator was actually treated as a victim. The perpetrator was actually my husband, and the victim was his lovely mum. This is our story of a mentally ill man who was repeatedly ignored and let down by the system he consistently asked for help from, a mother just trying to do the best for her son, who was in over her head and didn't understand what she was dealing with. We believe this could have been avoided if certain agencies had heeded concerns about Mark's deteriorating mental health seriously. So I want to start on the fact that I've heard a lot of people talking about children being the victims. Mark and his brother were actually hidden victims of domestic abuse from his dad and sat in their rooms crying, pretending they were in rocket ships while his mother had her jaw broken by their dad. Part of our domestic homicide review was that they looked at a study called Boys to Men, which is basically boys that have been victims of domestic abuse. They can literally go one or two ways. One brother went one way, the other brother went another. Listening to people talking about mad or bad, we desperately tried to get people to agree that Mark was mad. They just saw him as bad. In his domestic homicide review, there was 28 cries for help from him where he said that he was suicidal, that he was going to hurt someone. There's 18 recommendations where interventions could have been made. I was actually the one that was stalked and threatened. I was on Marac, but I was only medium risk. I had him arrested for beating me up. And I hasten to add, this was in the last 2 years of his life. I was with this man from when I was 19, and never once did he lay a hand on me or our four children. It was because of his mental illness. Mark was also a heroin addict. So each time he went to go and get help, he was told that it was drug-induced psychosis. There's a thing called the dual diagnosis policy. It's a lovely bit of paper that never, ever seems to be used. And I know this because I'm actually a frontline worker for street homeless, and I have a lot of clients. I actually specialise in dual diagnosis and complex needs. Trying to get a mental health assessment for my clients who are addicted to anything is near impossible. They tell them to go away and to get clean or to not drink for a month. Within 2 weeks, their symptoms are so bad that they're terrified of what they're going to do to somebody. So we take them back to the doctors. We call the crisis team, we take them to A&E, and we're still told it takes 28 days to get drugs out of their system. So what do? They go back on the streets and they start using because they're self-medicating. Going back to children, I've got four children that were left behind. I had to sit down and tell my kids before it went on Facebook that their superhero, their amazing dad, had killed their nan. Yeah. And had then shot himself. I had to watch my children fall apart while their dad was lowered into a grave and their nan was lowered on top of them. I've had to watch my children fall apart because you hear someone's murdered his mum and everyone thinks they're bad. As I've said, I've got four kids. Three out of those four children now have mental health issues. My oldest daughter wanted to join the army, but she now suffers from PTSD as a result of what happened. My oldest son has attempted suicide twice because he can't cope with what his dad did. My youngest daughter, I had to call the crisis team for her last week because she's so mentally unstable. I'm still waiting for someone to get in touch with me now. We've been to A&E, we've been to CAMHS, which is the Children and Adolescent Mental Health Service. The doctor referred her at first and they refused it. I was told to take her to A&E if she's that bad. It shouldn't get to a stage where a 16-year-old little girl is hearing voices and thinks she can see her dad spying on her. They should have done something beforehand. The idea of me talking today was that we're all really angry. Anyone that's been in our position is angry because people haven't done their jobs properly and boxes haven't been ticked. I think we've just got to realise that you can put all the paperwork and policies and strategies in place that you want, but sometimes we just need to realise there's some really rubbish workers that don't like their job and they just don't do it. I called 999 on Mark while he was trying to drag me out of a car with a machete to my throat, screaming. I had two police officers turn up nearly 20 hours later. They laughed at me, called me a drama queen. I told them that he had guns, and I told them that he threatened to kill me. They said that I was a moody ex-wife, and if they listened to people like me, that they'd be busy all day long. If they thought that it was serious, they'd lose their jobs over it if anything happened to me, so of course they'd do something. My children were witness to this, but they wouldn't listen to what my children said because they weren't impartial, they were on my side. My neighbours could lay testament to the fact that he stalked me, but they weren't impartial either, even though I hated my neighbours. Basically, what I'm trying to say is that loads of stuff could have been done. Wish it had been done, but it's never ever going to bring him back. What we need, in my opinion, for mental health, particularly in people that are in Mark's situation, is a better understanding of dual diagnosis. You can be an addict and still have mental health issues. They're not just dirty junkies. These people have had a harrowing life. And as I said, I work with them on a day-to-day basis. They've lost everything. And they end up losing even more through the drugs. Something has to change. Frontline workers have to recognise that these people are real. Very easy saying we need more money. Of course we need more money. I've got clients that we can put into hospital for 28 days and it does work out that they're in drug-induced psychosis. We then know how to manage them. But the ones that we can't get into hospital because apparently they have capacity to make the decision not to go and get help, we can't get the mental health workers out to us. We can't get them into a hospital to be assessed. And if that had happened for Mark, maybe he'd still be here, but I wouldn't.
Thank you very, very much, Sally. Could I just say to you that we've refreshed our website, same address, but we've refreshed it. And thank you all for agreeing to go over time. During the conference, I've prepared a debriefing. It's going to take me about 45 minutes to read it out. So shall I read it out? Joking. Can I especially thank Julie and Ian, who every year just say to me, leave it to us and we'll sort the premises out for you, the food and everything. I don't even have to phone them. I just come here and it's all done. Just like to give them a round of applause. And to thank all our volunteers and trustees and caseworkers and especially all of our speakers tonight. And to finish up with that harrowing speech from Sally, which also had humour in it. I often find so compelling when you combine such serious messages with the ability to express a kind of a dry or a wry humour. thank you for all your support this evening. Sorry to keep you a bit late, and travel home safely. And we look forward to seeing you again. Evaluation. Evaluation.